Now let's get on to today's interview. Again, we're talking with Brian Averill and Justin Dahl with Averill Hospitality. Again, thank you, Brian and Justin, for coming in today. And I think let's start out with a bit of an introduction. Brian, why don't you lead out here and tell us a bit about yourself and then about Averill Hospitality, and then Justin will talk about you, a little bit about yourself, just to introduce you to some of the folks here in town and what your role is with the company. So, Brian, dig in.
Well, thank you. Sure appreciate being here, and I sure love this community. I've been coming to the community of Sandpoint for years and years and years, ever since I was a little boy. And funny enough, but I've stayed at the Best Western Edgewater since I was a little boy. So I feel really lucky and appreciative to be involved and be able to own and manage the property today. And really excited about kind of bringing it to its full potential. But a little bit about me and our family and our company. We've been in the hospitality business since 1945. We got our start in hospitality in a unique setting. It was a dude ranch, guest ranch environment. It gave me the passion for the industry, and it taught me about how to create really unique experiences. It taught me about the value of personal relationships with our staff, with the guests, with the community. And I think between all those things, it's what's really gave me my passion. And I kind of followed that career path and kept going with kind of that family business. So
this was in Whitefish?
Close by, yep, mm-hmm. In a little town called Big Fork, which is in the Flathead Valley. And then we, of course, are from Montana, so we're about 3.5 hours away. So Whitefish, and I'm sure everyone's pretty familiar with Whitefish, but it's a very comparable community in lots of respects, with skiing, lake, summer, seasonalities, about the same population size. So it's nice to have that background and experience. I think it helps me understand the community of Sandpoint, the challenges of working in a community of this size, what it takes to be successful and a good steward of the community. But
So tell us a bit about the company. I know that it's been growing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe the properties that you have in Whitefish? And then plus, there are some other hotels, I think, that you've in restaurants too, that you've acquired outside of Whitefish.
Yeah, we own a number of properties. They're all in Montana, with the exception of the Best Western here in Sandpoint. But we have a resort in Whitefish called the Lodge at Whitefish Lake. It's a full service resort. It offers all the array of amenities that you would find in a great resort. When we built the lodge, it was my brother and my father and I built the lodge about 20 years ago now. And we were the first Four Diamond resort in the state of Montana. It gave us a unique challenge to how do you take a workforce and how do you provide them training and education to service a resort with that type of service needs and expectations. We still carry a lot of that forward today, and it would be one of the things that I think will be really great for us coming to Sandpoint. I think it's a really helpful tool for staff that they can grow within our company and grow outside of our company and other places, so they can apply those skill sets. Mm-hmm. We have another very distinct hotel downtown Whitefish called the Firebrand. We're big into the guest experience. So that comes out in our service styles, that comes out in our designs. So we took a totally different approach to the development of the Firebrand. It's located right downtown Whitefish. And it, too was a first of its kind in Whitefish. And so we worked really closely with the community, what the needs and wants are, the concerns are, it borders a neighborhood. And so we worked through all those concerns. And the firebrand, I was proud. We stood up at a city council meeting years after the firebrand was open, and the police chief stood up and said, "They have been nothing but great stewards." And so that was just a good testament of, you know, how all that we try to interact with the community ourselves. We also own a property in Missoula, Montana, which is right on the Clark Fork River across from the University of Montana. And interesting enough, it's known by two names. The Doubletree Hilton is one, and then it's known by the Edgewater Missoula. So we certainly...
Your first Edgewater,
I guess. We tied to the Edgewater name. Yes. A little bit about the company. We... you know, as an employer in Whitefish alone, we have just around 400 employees in Whitefish, and it gives us, you know, being the community size and the number of employees, we're one of the larger employers there. We understand, you know, that role very well. We work through training programs. We work in manager development programs. Wages and benefits are highly important to us, and so we take that role very seriously. And I would expect the employee count to be very comparable in Sandpoint for the property size here too.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Justin Dahl. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I grew up in Bismarck, North Dakota, and then I moved to Bozeman, Montana in 1999 and went to school there for mechanical engineering. And about that same time, my family, my parents, my brother, his wife, they moved out to Missoula. So Montana has kind of become my adopted home over the last couple of decades. You know, after I graduated college in engineering, we like to joke in Montana, it's probably not a very great joke, but one of the biggest exports in Montana is college graduates, and you know, a lot of that is because of the lack of jobs. So, you know, I think kind of we'll tie that back to kind of Averill and the number of employees and the education assistance and development that they offer can really help with that. But you know, I ended up leaving Montana for several years, for about a decade. And was in the Bay Area working in tech, and then in Salt Lake City previous to that. My wife and I had an opportunity to move back to Montana about 2 years ago. She was working in an engineering position, and I kind of transitioned out of engineering about 8 years ago and started working in development. And when we moved back, I started kind of talking with Brian about development opportunities within Averill. And, you know, we kind of went back and forth for several months and ended up, it's been about 2 years that I've been working with Brian and Averill Hospitality and his family. And so, yeah, we've been in Whitefish now for 2 years. And, you know, working with Averill's has been absolutely incredible. They're true stewards of the community. You know, one thing that always sticks with me is, I wasn't working there for very long, and Brian has been one of the most gracious people ever. And I remember you know, not knowing his brother very well, and I ran into him at the lodge, and you know, he shook my hand and he said to me, "You're part of the family now." And kind of smiled, and you know, that was just they've both just been extremely welcoming, and so it's been great being in Whitefish. And you know, so many similarities in Whitefish to Sandpoint, with it being a ski town on the lake, a bit of a tourist destination. And so we've just loved being there, and love being over here in Sandpoint and seeing the similarities of the communities.
Just one little question there. Are you guys both skiers?
We are.
Yeah.
Avid skiers.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
probably addicted too much.
Yeah. That's one of the key elements about being happy in this part of the world is if you like to ski, then you're going to like the winter, right?
So. We have a belief that you have to have an outdoor sport per season or multiple.
Yeah. It's usually multiple. Most people can't, as I'm sure people here can attest, you can't park your cars in the garage because there's so much gear.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into talking about the plans for the Edgewater here. Now, the lot size was enlarged through a trade with the city, and the lot size now goes out as far as the sidewalk that runs parallel to the resort there. Can you describe? This is going to be like we have to paint some word pictures here because we're on the radio. We can't show them pictures of the actual. Renderings, which will be presented to the city in at a public hearing next Tuesday, as I understand. Can you describe the footprint of the new building? And it's interesting that there are like three wings of it, and then there's a couple of outdoor courtyards. It's a pretty interesting design. So I'd like you to expand on that, please.
Yeah. Hotel development is an interesting mix of components that go into any design. You have to take into account the seasonality of a community or kind of the demand for the hotel, the number of rooms, and then in a lot of cities the height, which dictates the number of rooms and the design of the building. So those three components really drive the architectural design for the property. And then you, on top of that, you put in there the services and amenities and the style of property that we want to create. And that, in this case, it might be different restaurant offerings. It might be other service offerings such as spas. It might be parking requirements, and the list kind of goes on and on. But the architect is a really wonderful, interesting architect from Denver, Colorado, that works throughout the Northwest and mountain towns. They specialize in hotels and resorts. They're really creative in their designs. They tailor them to the architectural designs of the community. So they pull elements from the community into their design. And I think that was our request of them. And I think they've accomplished a lot of that in the hotel. The hotel itself sits kind of center of the property. And if you can picture the sidewalk that's in front of the beach to the road that accesses the Seasons, it's kind of center of that. And then it's also center from the east to the west property boundaries. And there's a lot of logic that went into that placement of the building. One of them in maybe no particular order, but when you drive down to the beach, we wanted to protect the view corridor to the lake. And so by keeping the building center of the property, that view corridor, when you come under the bridge, under the train tracks and to the beach, the lake is prominent, the beach is prominent, just kind of as it is today.
So it is actually set back from the property line on that south boundary.
Yep.
As well as it's set back, when you say center of the property, it's set back from where the sidewalk is.
It is. Yeah. That was maybe the other part, is that we also wanted to maintain as much of that lawn that exists today as well. Just green space, walking path for folks coming to and from the beach and community accessing the trail past the property and so on. So it's pulled away from the beach and maintain a bunch of that grass as well.
Yeah, we understand how important this space is to the community, and one of those pieces with preserving that view corridor is it is requiring us to ask for a variance with the city. We want to be able to pull it off of the main sidewalk so that, you know, as you're going down to the beach, you're able to see that, and it's just preserves that beautiful view that you see from the city.
Yeah, so. Interestingly enough, the city, if you stuck with the code, it would require you to build right up to that sidewalk. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah. So you're requesting setbacks from that, and that'll be one of the issues for the council to decide. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks kind of a no-brainer, but because it's going to be a big improvement in the visual aspect of it. So you mentioned there's going to be 150 to 170 rooms.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're looking at about 150 to 170 rooms. The property today is about 50 plus rooms, so we're going to add a little over 100 rooms to the property today. And then we'll add a variety of those amenities that we're just discussing, spa, different restaurant offerings. One unique restaurant offering that I think the community will really love is we like giving people the food and beverage right on the water. And so right kind of on the edge of the property, there's a great restaurant and little bar area that folks that are using the park, using the beach, can all access it. You can walk in there in flip-flops, or you can walk in there in whatever attire you're in for the day, and you can overlook the lake and the beach, and it'd just be a great environment.
Mm-hmm. And that's right in the southeast corner of the property. It will be actually adjacent to the sidewalk that's there. Yeah.
That's correct. We have something similar to that in Whitefish at the Whitefish Lake Lodge. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really great space. And the community comes out and use it. I love going there with friends and family in town. It's just such an amazing spot to be able to take people to a restaurant right there on the water and, you know, have a drink, have a meal. And to Brian's point, you're probably going to have people in flip-flops and shirtless, and you might have people that have a wedding next to you or whatever it may be. It's just a different, it's a mix of people and everyone's having a great time.
Actually, it's similar in that respect to the current restaurant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Where there's the outside deck and people would really love going, the locals love going there in the summer. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We've in the resort in Whitefish, one of the communities has termed it their lake house. And if we can accomplish that same thing here in Sandpoint, I think that's success. You know, it's how do you get the community out to enjoy the property? It's not just for hotel guests, it's for the community alike. And then how can the hotel just interplay with the community itself?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So going back to the word picture here, if we can, it's kind of like three wings of the structure, and there's probably an architectural term for this that I don't know, but that reach towards the lake. But then in between each one of those are what are you calling courtyard areas. Why don't you describe those?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one of the courtyards is a pool and deck space. So it has outdoor restaurant seating, pool, for hotel guests, just general public space outdoors. That space can be converted into winter amenities, whether it's igloos to enjoy or sitting by the fire in the wintertime. The other space plays with our meeting and event space, and so it will have outdoor patios for the meeting rooms. And weddings can happen out there, or breakouts for meetings, groups, and so on and so forth.
Okay, and so the building is—it's not just a big block building at all, the way you've designed it here.
Yeah.
What is the height? And it looks like from the pictures I see, they're like different elevations in some parts of the building.
Yeah. So the architectural design is critical on this point. So the height is comparable to the seasons, so it's about the same as the seasons in height, but having the different ups and downs in the buildings and ins and outs, it doesn't create this block mass feeling. And so it'll have unique architecture It won't feel as big because of the ins and outs. And then part of, from a design standpoint, trying to get as many rooms as possible with a view, which is taking the lake and you can see the sunrise and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And looking at the site map, one thing that sticks out to me, there is a big old cottonwood tree that's at the southern border, and it picture makes it look like that's staying there.
That's correct. It is staying.
We're sensitive to trees here.
This I know.
I think it's really important for us to
have
the design elements that fit in with the community and the style of the region and preserve as much as we can. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, you'll see on the drawings there's a lot of lawn space that's preserved and trees as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're, you know, the vegetation that is aged vegetation, it's really important for the property, in my opinion. They, you know, the more trees you can save and the more vegetation that looks like it's been there for as long as the property's been there, it makes it really nice.
Lends gravitas to the structure.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So let's talk about the parking. The parking basically is where the current parking lot is, but there'd be two levels now.
That's correct. Yep. The parking will be in the same location that it is now. There will be two levels to that access. I believe it's the north and south side to be able to access that. And we have worked with the city to make sure that that meets their needs. We anticipate about 240 parking stalls for that to be able to accommodate guests as well as events.
Mm-hmm. And what else do we want? Oh, one thing is the entry to the hotel. We'll be moving basically from the west side that faces the train tracks to the south end of the property. Why don't you describe the way the entry, so a guest driving up that wants to stay at the hotel, how they'll use that?
That's a great question. So our vision was that when you come under the bridge and the train tracks and you arrive to the beach, you have things that you're arriving to. You have the city park, you're looking at the lake, and then you have the hotel entrance. And we wanted all three of those things to kind of play together in that arrival experience. So the hotel entrance is right off to the side of that. So it'd be on one side of that. It's a nice roundabout to capture the cars. And then the parking lot access is kind of off the side of that. So I think all those things, it'll make a beautiful arrival when you get to the beach or to the hotel is kind of the overall goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think one of the big features that the folks here will be interested in are the event facilities that the hotel is going to incorporate. Sandpoint right now doesn't have a place that can really, in town, that the hotel that has connected convention facilities. So tell us a bit about that.
We designed just over 15,000 square feet of meeting and event space in the hotel, and there are a variety of different spaces inside and outside. One of them is a beautiful space on the roof of the hotel, so we can hold cocktail receptions up there, weddings, ceremonies. Our grand ballroom inside will hold about 350 people for a seated, plated event, which I believe there's a number of those events in the community that, that might work really well for. And, there's multiple breakout rooms for board retreats and board meetings. We're, as a company, really familiar with the meeting space. This is very comparable to what we do today, and we understand all the different markets, from weddings, associations, to ongoing educations, to corporate retreats, and so on and so forth. So our expectation would be to bring those type of businesses and those groups to the community and to the hotel. And the beautiful part about that is that a lot of that happens outside of the summer season. So we can look to grow shoulder seasons, wintertime use of the property, and that would be kind of the general goal with the meeting space.
Okay, well, let's do a little station ID here. If you just tuned in, this is the morning show on 88.5 KRFY, and we're talking today with two folks from Averill Hospitality, Brian Averill and Justin Dahl, about plans for rebuilding the Edgewater Resort at the City Beach. Brian, thanks for all you've been giving us so far on this. Is there anything else you want to mention about the building, the structure, or the footprint? I want to talk about community impacts that we'll see with, the economy, jobs.
Absolutely.
But anything left to describe about the hotel building?
I think one piece is just important to point out that I think we've kind of talked about what we're calling the tiki bar. And then along with that, we're going to build a boardwalk that is between the property and the beach that's going to be public access. And I think, really want people to understand that we want to really preserve that access to the beach area and that public space there.
Yeah, and the tiki bar is it's a separate structure in that southeast corner of the property. But actually, it's not the only restaurant that you're planning.
That's right. We do have a few other restaurants. I believe we have three total, so two other ones on the property. As we get a little further in our design, we'll work through what those concepts are exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about some of the impacts on the community. First, let's talk about jobs. I assume a much larger hotel is going to require more employees. Have you made any projections yet on the number of employees you're going to need?
We would anticipate that the property would bring about 300 plus jobs to the community for the hotel itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't count the factor of all the support staff that will be created. Or the support positions and other businesses that might be created. Are you concerned that you're going to be able to fill all those jobs in a small community?
Well, I believe the answer is going to be yes initially, although we are familiar with that coming from Montana in the same community size. It does present challenges, but it also presents an opportunity as I was saying earlier, that, through different training programs and the development of the people's skill sets that are in the community, I feel comfortable that that will be a really positive impact. Not only will we provide the jobs and we'll find the jobs, but we'll give people skills and knowledge of the hospitality industry that doesn't exist today. To a large degree,
we actually create kind of a career path for folks that want to be in the hospitality industry.
Right. Yeah. And then, it's a creative mix for staffing that many folks. Although we found today that Sandpoint has some wonderful people that work for us today. We took a lady who is the general manager of the property, was a 5-year veteran of the property when we bought it, and gave her her first management job. And 2 years ago, she's doing spectacular, and we couldn't be happy with her. She's a local resident for a couple generations in Sandpoint. We find that in Whitefish, for example, we house about 30% of our overall staff through housing that we've built, bought, or developed in some fashion, one way or the other. I find that that's a really important piece to do for the staff and the housing component in the community, too.
Are you anticipating to do that here?
I would think so. Mm-hmm. Over time, those things grow over time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are wages typically in the industry? Are you anticipating here for these kinds of jobs that you'll be creating?
It ranges greatly. We have wonderful salary position jobs. We have mid-level management jobs. We have sales positions. We have hourly positions. We as an employer are, we're not the lowest, we're not the highest, but we're very competitive, and we offer the full array of benefits, and but maybe more than just our pay, even though that's highly important. I think our management philosophy is really why we find we're a very good employer to work for. And it's a culture that we create, the opportunities that we give the people that work for us, and the idea that we look from within to grow and to develop is maybe one of our biggest attributes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to chime in on that as someone works with for Averill. They pay very well, and I think it's just really cool, the development of the people. I mean, you get, you know, people want to stick around these types of communities like Whitefish and Sandpoint. And so to be able to provide opportunities where, you know, you might be able to start in an entry-level position out of high school or out of college, you know, maybe out of college you come back home, and to be able to have a system where you can get develop into bigger positions, bigger roles within the company is just, it's really incredible to be able to offer that in these small towns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the benefits that Averill provides is, you know, that of what you would see of a large company in a larger demographic, in a larger area, in a city or something like that. So it's really, really great to see that in these small towns.
So can you speak a little bit to the larger economic impact of building a hotel that'll be able to accommodate 3 times as many folks as the current one does? More jobs directly for you, but I don't know if there's any studies that tell it generates X number of dollars for the community.
That's a great question, Chris. There's a study in Montana that is, there's a ratio between every dollar that's spent on a hotel room night equates to dollars spent in the community directly and indirectly. Directly might be a hotel guest that goes and buys a dinner, goes to the grocery store, goes to the gas station. Indirect would be those business owners who receive those dollars are going out and doing comparable things back in the community, so direct and indirect. But that study, and this is a little bit old now, but it was $9 spent direct and indirect in the community to $1 spent in a hotel room night. So extrapolating that out in the community, it's massive numbers. It's a great economic driver for the community, mm-hmm. And it spans the array of industry types. So that they say on average that 20% will go to retailers, 20+% will go to bars and restaurants, and then it's kind of spread amongst other industries in the community too.
Mm-hmm. Even somebody needing to get their car fixed.
Yeah, exactly right. Yep. And it kind of goes on as well, is that, you know, we all live in a seasonal community. So the summertime is a wonderful time to be in Sandpoint, but the real goal is not only to promote and build greater summer business, but it's how do you drive, spring and fall and winter time in the community when the community really is looking for that economic driver. And the meeting space that the hotel has to offer will be a huge piece of that puzzle for us. And we'd look to do that. And then just simple things like promoting skiing and shuttle service to and from the mountain and so whatnot will just bring that skiing component into town just a little bit more than it has been. Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, Whitefish has an Amtrak station.
Yes.
As a Sandpoint. So you can even get here by train, right?
Yes. It's very close to this hotel, and Whitefish is the firebrand. So theoretically, we could go from one to the other.
I think the stop here is at 3 a.m., though. It's pretty difficult. That's a tough one.
And it runs late a lot, too. So one that you mentioned, the event space and, you know, filling shoulder seasons there. And I will say that my next question would be kind of leverage off that, because we have a lot of nonprofit groups here. Mm-hmm. And well, you know, I guess question A would be, does Averill Hospitality have any kind of you know, nonprofit giving philosophy you want to talk about. And as well, will the event space be available for nonprofit organizations, which don't have very big budgets when they put on an event?
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking that question. I'm for a lot of reasons, but, you know, I believe that we have a duty in the community to be that steward. Hotels and resorts, especially with meeting space, have a unique ability to assist those nonprofits in fundraising. We do this actively in a variety of different ways through at-cost events. We do it through partnership. We host a number of nonprofit and community-style events throughout the year at every property that we own. We deliver food to food banks. We provide complimentary room nights. And the list kind of just goes on and on and on. I spent time calculating it at times, and I stopped doing it because it's widespread amongst all the services and amenities, and it's the dollars given or caused to be given or raised adds up really, really quickly. But a couple of things that maybe are notable from as we were building one of the hotels in Whitefish, we purchased 37 acres of land. It was really sensitive land. It was zoned for high density, and the developers prior to that were looking at putting 200 plus home sites on it in a really wetland type of property. And we took the property and we turned it into a wetland preserve and put little nature trails through it for the community. And it's been just a wonderful addition to the community. We're currently in the process of taking some land and working with a group called Save the Farmland in Whitefish and taking some high industrial zoning land and turning it over to them so they can create sustainable farming on the property. We work closely with a group in Whitefish that is their mission is to maintain the water quality of Whitefish Lake and the surrounding areas. It's a very similar concept to what happens in Lake Tahoe about keep Tahoe blue. That's kind of a comparable mission to what they have. And we've caused donations to that group for a little over $1 million. In the last about 6 or 7 years, and they protect mussels from getting into the Whitefish Lake and the water quality of all the kind of surrounding lakes and rivers. And so to answer your question, I think our role and participation will be widespread, and we look forward to doing that. And if I could point my finger at one thing that I personally have passion for and would love to help the community with is to realize the master plan for the city beach, and however we can kind of participate in that. I think once we get things started here, that'll be one of the areas that we would look to help and participate with for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. We're probably angling towards the last few questions here. And I guess, first of all, you have a public hearing with the city council next Tuesday, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And that is for a...
That'll be with the planning and zoning.
The planning department. And zoning. Not okay, right. And what happens there?
It's a very technical meeting, really, just reviewing the codes, reviewing the site layout, the plan, making sure we're meeting those codes and standards set forth by the city.
And have they already looked things over preliminarily so far?
They have, yes. Yeah. We submitted earlier this spring, I believe it was around the March timeframe. They've reviewed our application. They come back with their initial comments. We've responded to those comments. And to be honest, there weren't a lot of surprises within those comments. You know, we're staying within, our architect is very good at understanding the codes, and we're staying within the confines of those codes of what the city is asking. And so, you know, I think a lot of it that we did get back comments on were maybe just clarifications where we just needed to explain better the design element. So, you know, we don't really anticipate a lot of major hurdles there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, here's one of the key questions everybody wants to know about is, what do you anticipate your schedule for construction will be?
We are, we're working towards that as quick as we can. We would anticipate starting this fall. So fall of 2024.
So, and that would be with demolition?
Probably won't be demolition, but it'll be all the development process, architectural plans, all the engineering, and all those type of associated things.
When do you think you would actually be engaging in the demolition?
Oh, probably spring of 25.
Okay. And I guess one question that I have, do you have a name? Are you going to continue to call it the Edgewater?
Well, as we said, I'm passionate about the Edgewater, but we haven't picked a name. We love the branding process. It's highly important to the community and just kind of paying that homage to the community. So the answer is no, unfortunately, but we will look forward to revealing that one at a later date.
Okay. Well, what else? We're going to wrap up here, but what else might you like people to know?
No, we're appreciative to be here, and we'll be a good steward of the community. And as we said, we've been in the hospitality business for a long, long time, generations, and we only want to be involved in communities that we have high passion for. And if I could talk my family into living here, I might be a resident. And so, you know, I put the passion into the community and the property as if it was my own, and which it is. And so just looking forward to being involved.
Hey, it could be a coin flip between Sandpoint and Whitefish. Huh?
I think I'm going with Sandpoint, but I got to talk to kids into coming, so we'll see.
Yeah, they could be plugged in where they're at. Justin, anything you'd like to add in there?
I think just really driving home the point of, you know, Sandpoint and Whitefish have so many similarities, and being stewards of the community is extremely important to us. Not to go on too much, but one of the prime lots left in downtown Whitefish that we have, we just opened that up as a food truck parking lot kind of venue for the community. So it has all local vendors for the food trucks. We have over 26 local artists that have spaces on the lot. And it's just, it truly has transformed. We just opened about a week ago, and so it's work in progress, but it's truly just transformed into this community space for the public. And that's just, it's really important to us to be able to do things like that for the community and with the community. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to say thank you again, Brian Averill and Justin Dahl with Averill Hospitality, talking about the rebuilding of the Edgewater Lodge, which may be the Edgewater in the future. We're not sure.
We'll see.
We'll see. Thank you very much for taking time to come in. I know you'll be in town this week. You're going to talk into a couple of groups, Rotary and Sandpoint Chamber. I think both of those are already filled up, so folks are eager to hear what some of your plans are. And we are going to take a short musical break here, and then I'm going to come back and tell you about some of the stuff that's going on around town over the weekend.